Okay, mics are hot.
It's on. Turn engines on. I need more heat. Give me more engine. Aye, aye, Captain.
And they're off. Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Jared, and with me is my push-it-to-the-limit friend, Ian.
That's me.
We will be your hosts for the podcast. We are honored and grateful that you've joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Heat, Pedal to the Metal. Designed by Asger Harding Granerud and Daniel Scholl Peterson. Artwork by Vincent Dutrait and published by one of our favorites, Days of Wonder.
Heat, Pedal to the Metal is a 1-6 player racing game where players use a deck of cards to strategically utilize their engine heat to maximize their speed and driving efficiency. But watch out for those quick turns. You have to be aggressive yet cautious in this high-octane race. Let's review Heat, Pedal to the Metal.
Nice.
Did you have a question? Because I didn't come up with one yet.
I don't have a good one for this.
We've done a racing game already, so it's like we already stole that one.
Yeah, we've really.
You've been to a NASCAR race, right?
I have. That was my only question. Like, have you ever been to a race?
I have not. I've been to Nashville Fairgrounds race, and that was cool.
All right, let's try this. We're gonna go outside of the box a little bit.
All right,
Ian. This is our second racing game in a very short amount of time.
We're mixing it up a little bit.
Ironically, neither one of us are really into racing in real life.
Right.
So my question for you today is, what draws you to racing games? Because I know that I am drawn to them, but I'm curious what draws you into a racing game.
So I'm not into racing in the real world, as in watching races. I don't watch NASCAR. I don't watch the Grand Prix, whatever. But I'm super competitive, so I like racing as a person, like myself. So any type of possible competition that I could put myself in, I will.
That makes sense.
Also, the strategy, and I think in racing, it's a whole other elite skill of knowing when to push the speed, knowing when to be cautious, yet strategic and aggressive. I like those concepts in a game or in life too, if I'm playing something or doing something. So that constant like back and forth thinking on and waiting for the opportune time to take advantage of somebody's slip up, it works so well in a board game. That racing element allows, you know, you can build that into mechanisms. There's so many racing games that I do enjoy because of that. It's like, okay, well, when is my time? Take it slow. And then when do you try and take that move ahead? And so a game like this does that, but any game, just that racing element, it's like you can't just burn out the entire race. You can't just go fast, fast, fast. That's not how it works.
Right.
That's definitely one aspect that it's like it is very strategic in the way you approach a race, depending on the track or whatever, you know, the game is. You're taking it in different ways. There's ways to approach it. And so I always like that. It's like, oh, well, this way, you know, I'm going to approach it this way, this game. And then the next time you're going to approach it a different way. So it just leaves the door wide open for so many different possibilities, which is always fun for me.
I just want to go fast. No, I
think in real life, like if I'm like riding a bike or something, like obviously speed.
Yeah.
But when it comes to a game, that's, I guess.
No, I think you really hit a lot of the highlights of what a racing game speaks to both of us. I remember playing, we were talking about it before we started the episode, the Star Wars pod racing game that came out on Nintendo 64. And I think that was my first real like pull to racing games. Well, you know what? I take that back. Did you ever have that racing toy where you could put the cars on the track and then you like hold down your little trigger and electronically you like go around the track or whatever.
I did. Yeah, it was via like magnets and stuff. Yeah. I don't know how it all worked, but it was electrical current.
That's right. Yeah.
And
it was really terrible. The toy was sucked. It was awful.
But it was so much
it
fun.
It was fun.
It was so much. It was so good. There was also the Hot Wheels, you know, orange track that you would send through. Yep. And then the game you were mentioning was Star Wars Episode One Racer.
That's right. That's right.
Which is the Nintendo 64.
How we don't have a pod racing board game yet is beyond me. I feel like that's just asking to be made.
I know. You could retheme any of these to do it if you really wanted to.
I suppose you could. Yes. No, I want a racing game that has to do with pod racing where you can cheat during the game like Sebulba does. And there's got to be a whole other element. And then, you know, you build your pod. Anyways, we're going deep. We're going off the deep end.
Too far.
Sorry, I'll bring it back.
Reel it back in.
There's a lot, I don't know. There's a lot of like toys that lend towards racing and games that lend toward racing. It's just an easy concept that a lot of people can pick up. And one of the things that I liked about this game that we're going to get to here in a little bit is that it is a game where you can get anybody to the table and try it out, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And it can be something where, as a racing person, it can either be casual or very competitive, and you're going to be able to get some enjoyment out of it. So before I get too deep into that, let's go ahead and talk about how to play, and then we'll give some of our thoughts.
Yeah.
All right. In Heat, Pedal to the Metal, the goal of the game is to be the player who crosses the finish line first. Because as we all know, if you're not first, you're last. If multiple cars cross the finish line in the same round, whoever finishes further ahead is declared the winner. At the beginning of the game, each player chooses a color and takes the corresponding car, player mat, gear pawn, deck of speed cards, 6 heat cards, and 3 stress cards to start the game. You'll also get 3 starting upgrade cards, which add additional speed, and 1 more heat card. Players will create a starting deck with the speed, stress, and starting upgrade cards, shuffle and place them face down in the leftmost spot of the player mat. The heat cards will go face up in the middle spot, and the right spot will hold discards during the game. The gear pawn will go into the first gear slot. There are 4 gear shifts that you'll be able to use throughout the game. There will be a board in the middle that will show the track that you're on, and there are 4 different maps: USA, Italia, France, and Great Britain. Each one has its own little quirks. Some have tighter turns, some have more straightaways, different amount of spaces to get around the track, different laps, things of that nature. But once you've decided on your map, you'll put your car in the starting spot and get that stuff set up that I just said a second ago, and then you'll be ready to start. The first 2 steps of a turn are done by all players at the same time. You decide whether or not to shift gears, and then play cards equal to the gear that you are in. When shifting, you have the option of staying in the same gear, shifting up or down a gear, or paying 1 of your heat to go up or down 2 gears. With that, let's take a moment to talk about heat. Heat is a resource that can be used for various parts of the game. It is a resource and so very precious that it must be used at the right time. When playing heat, you take 1 from the face-up stack in the middle of your mat and add it to your discard pile. When you draw heat later on, once you've taken your discard pile, shuffled it back in, and draw a new deck, it acts as basically a dead card in your hand until you're able to get it back into that middle spot on your player mat. Learning to use your heat at the right time is pivotal to jumping to the next level of understanding this game. I'll continue to mention where to spend heat as we go through the rest of the how to play. Players take their turns moving their cars around the track. Turn order for this is determined based on where each player is positioned on the track at the start of the round. When it's your turn, flip over the speed cards that you played and move the number of spaces. If I'm in second gear, I flip over a 4 and a 3, I'm going to move 7 spaces. Instead of playing speed cards, you might have played a stress card, which causes you to play the top card of your deck to determine how fast you're going that round. So if I play a 4 plus a stress, and I flip over a card, if it's a heat card, I'll just discard it, or if it's a stress card, I'll just discard it. But if it's a speed card, I'll add that number to my other speed card, and that'll be the amount that I move. After you have moved, if you're playing with 5 to 6 players, and you're either in 5th or 6th place, you can choose to add 1 to your speed. Additionally, you also get the option of cooling down once. Cooling down lets you take heat cards from your hand and put them back into the middle section to be spent again later on. Each cooldown allows you to move 1 heat to the middle, so you can't just move all your heat at one time. There is a process that you have to go through. Before you end your turn, there are a few more actions that can be taken. You may boost, which allows you to flip one card off the top of your deck, adding that many more spaces to your total run this turn. You may cool down if you are in first or second gear, again, allowing you to take heat cards from your hand and putting them into your heat pile. And you may slipstream. To slipstream, you need to be behind or beside an opponent. If you are, you may move forward two more spaces. Next, if you went around a turn too fast, you're required to pay heat. The cost is the difference between your speed and the turn rating. Ian, do you want to tell us what happens if you're going around a turn too fast and you don't have enough heat to pay for it?
Well, Jared, as I've done many, 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 many times in this game, you die.
No, you don't die in a fiery car crash.
No, you, what's the technical term? It's
spinning out.
Spinning out. That's right. You spin out. You don't crash. You spin out and you return back to the start of the turn. Well, not the very start, but like the last space before the turn. And so you lose a bunch of heat based on how far you went over. You go back down to first gear. You basically crash. You basically crash, but
great.
You don't. It's horrible. It really, really, really is bad. Very, very bad things happen when this happens.
And you do take...
You can recover, but...
Yes. Did you mention that you take on extra stress?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, then you gain more stress cards based on what gear you were in. So if you're in a high gear, you'll take two. If you're in a low gear, you'll take one. But yeah, so on top of losing the heat from your engine, it goes into your deck and clogs your deck up. But then you get stress that also clogs your deck up. So it's like it's a 2-for-1. It's so bad. It's actually a 3-for-1.
Yeah, that's true.
100%. You should not do this. If I didn't go over by the one, I probably would have won the race. But I choked.
You were in last. So
I choked. Yeah, I didn't even finish the race.
I was going to say.
Didn't even finish.
This was the first time that I've watched Ian walk away from the table. He just gave up.
I was done.
Incredible. All right, so you don't want to spin out. Bad things.
No, spinning out is bad.
In case, dear listener, you're wondering why you may or may not want to slipstream, that is a big part of it, is that you might slipstream into a corner, in which case you're going too fast, and then you just, it's a disaster. So anyway, so after you've made sure that you didn't go around the turn too fast, then you...
Slow down.
That's right. Then you decide if you'd like to discard any of your cards from your hand. You cannot get rid of heat or stress cards, but you might have speed cards that don't really fit the spot on the track that you're on. So you could discard those if you desire. Then you draw back up to 7, and the next racer goes. Turns will continue until all players have moved, and rounds will also continue like this until someone has crossed the finish line. There are other modules that can be added to add further depth to this game, but we're going to talk about those later on in the episode. Looks like the yellow flag's been pulled, and we're good to go. Let's jump in and talk through our thoughts.
Yeah, this game is, there's a lot happening. It's a race.
It is a race. thank you for clarifying.
A turn in this game, there's so much going on, but then like the decision making, it's not like a crazy amount of decisions. It's just like when your turn finally comes around, you have some decisions to make after even playing your speed cards on what to do, because you have to look at who's ahead of you. If you're in first, there's not a whole lot you could do. You just move and hope, you know, there's not a whole lot of slipstreaming or whatever, anything like that. People will just follow you behind, and you might be able to boost or something. But besides that, it's really the players in the back that do, like, they have to decide, okay, am I going to boost? Am I going to try and slip? You know, whatever. So there's a lot of decision making mid-turn on top of the planning of the turn. And I say a lot, it's not like you're taking a ton of time to do those things. Just all of these things are crossing your mind every turn, at least for me. You're constantly looking at board state and constantly evaluating, okay, where do I want to end up? What space do I want to try and get to? And like all this stuff. And so there's just a lot there, which is really cool. But in the end, you're just playing a couple cards and the turns don't take that long, especially as an individual. I mean, your turn's like maybe a couple minutes tops if you like thought through everything. That's what's super fascinating off the jump to this, is that it's easy to teach, relatively speaking. There's some minor rules and stuff that you have to get through, but overall, very simplified way of playing cards. And as far as racing, it is a little bit more, you know, a little bit higher up than strategically than some of the other racing games I have played. I think we have reviewed a game called Downforce. I think this is Downforce on steroids. The squares are similar, the spacing, the turns, like there's a lot of stuff like that. And then if you've ever played, like, you know, was it Flamme Rouge?
Yep.
Also another one.
This is Flamme Rouge's big brother. I mean, talking about a game on steroids, it's Flamme Rouge's big brother, in my opinion.
Right. There's a balance between a couple different games that you're seeing in this game. Different aspects, different game mechanics and stuff that are definitely taken from other games.
Right.
And so that's a really neat element to all this. It depends on this game, like other racing games, which can be a problem in some, is that there's not really a catch-up mechanic. This game does it so eloquently.
It's wild.
On the players in last place are never out of it.
Yeah.
Even like the game we played recently, the person that was in last for most of the race ended up winning. Like there were people that spun out multiple times. They were right there at the end.
Yes.
So even if you make a critical mistake, you could still find your way back in the mix because you get a one speed boost if you're in the last place, or in a higher player count, the last two places, they get a one plus. They also get free cooldowns. So you have ways to put heat back into your engine. On top of that, just in any race, when you're looking at a board, there's four different boards in this base game. Each board and each race is slightly different, and there's a lot of turns in some and less turns in the others, but there's always turns in each of them. And those turns just create bottlenecks, just like real racing. Like, it's about maximizing your speed in the straightaways, but when you get to the turns, you don't want to, critically mess up. There are always going to be stacked cars in those turns because everybody has to slow down, and it's the same thing in this game. Everybody's slowing down around those turns, so everybody kind of catches up during those points. It's how well you make those turns. How well do you get around them? How well do you manage them? How well do you slipstream behind people in those turns? Like, there's so many things going on that you can count, weigh in. And it's not necessarily about whoever went the fastest, whoever messed up the least, in my mind. It's about how efficient and how well did you race over the entirety of the race. Even if you mess up here or there, did you efficiently make your moves and make the power moves when it counted most?
Right.
If you mess those up, you're going to lose. If you mess everyone up, like I messed one up in one of our races, I miscalculated and went too far on one of the turns and so on. But if I played a good enough race through the entirety of the race and didn't make any critical mistakes on some big turns, that's how you win this game, which is like real racing. It like all the cars are going 120. Like nothing changes there. It's like, how well do you do the other things? And this game just wraps it up so well. It's not about one or two little mistakes or, moves. It's about the longevity of the whole race. How well do you play it, in my mind?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to speak to the catch-up mechanic a little bit because, we mentioned earlier at the end of the how to play section about how you just kind of, there was that one race where you just kind of gave up and walked away from the table. But that happened after four attempts to get back into the race. Like, you were in it multiple times and it just eventually, it wasn't there that game. It just wasn't going to happen because the amount of bad draw.
Right.
And that's part of it. But I felt like, yes, by the last time you spun out, you were out of it. But before that, you still had a chance, which is wild to me that you can make a few mistakes and still not feel like everything is broken. And why did I participate in this for 45 minutes? Things like that.
Right.
So I am fascinated by how that mechanic works so well. There were multiple times in the games that we played trying this out, especially even as newer players, where we would look at the board and see one way in the back and be like, they're never going to catch up. But then, like you said, you get to the turns and it clumps right back up, and that guy in last swings right back in, and it's a tight race all over again. And so if they have been, even though they were farther behind, if they've been managing their resources correctly, especially their heat, then they have a chance to pull it out at the end, which is awesome. The heat is crazy good. It does so many things. It mitigates some of the luck of the draw. So if your hand isn't perfect, you have the ability to boost to be able to get additional cards out. It lets you have some variability of blowing through turns if you need to. So you might be expecting that I'm just going to safely go through this turn and I might whip it and just pay that two or three heat to get ahead of you by a round and see if I can take advantage of that. And everything is about timing. And again, going back to, you can't just slam on the pedal the entire time, but using that give and take correctly is done really well in this game, to where you feel like if I do this too early, they're going to have me at the end, even if it looks like I'm pulling ahead right now.
It's a resource to spend.
100%.
And so what's weird is that resource that you're using to like be efficient and pay for certain, you know, things that you want to do, also comes back to bite you, because it's a resource. It's critically important. But then when it's in your hand, you can't spend it for anything. You can't play it. If you have a whole hand of them, your turn is ruined. You have to restart. Like, it is so horrific if you get all of the heat in your hand at one time instead of like in your engine or inside your discard pile. And so the rest of the deck, though, is speed cards. There's some stress cards. Those speed cards, I think they're all evened out basically. There's like two ones or three ones also? I think it's three ones, three twos, three threes, three fours.
That's right.
And then a zero and a five with your basic upgrades and then an extra heat. And so everybody has this one deck.
To clarify, just so we're using our terminology correctly, they are the starting upgrades, because basic and complex upgrades come later.
Right. The starting upgrades, which are, I think, are really good. The zero is great. I think I've used that so many times. And then the five is also phenomenal. And so those are great. And then the extra heat card, you know, you get to eventually stash that into your engine. And so it adds, you know, more resource for you. But it's so fascinating. It's like technically the rules specify you're not supposed to look at your discard pile at any point. You can always see the top card. I caught myself looking, like attempting to look. Uh-oh. I was like, shoot, I can't do that. Because you're trying to remember what I've played. Okay, I know I've played two fours for sure. So then you're kind of card counting a little bit, which is fun, because you're going, let's see, what do I flip? What's coming next, I think? So you can kind of play it a little bit. The fascinating part of all that, though, is when you are going around turns, or when you are going into a speed, you know, you have the ability to boost or, you know, play those stress cards, which add this randomness of how fast you're going to go, and you'll flip one off the top of the deck. And so, again, you can guess it's going to be one of four cards. It's a one, two, three, or four that you're able to use those icons with. But the randomness, like, changes the game so much, because you'd be like, a four gets me to the first place, but a two gets me to, like, I'm in last. It's like literally two numbers change the game, because you would be able to slipstream. It's just so fascinating. The card, the deck itself, it's only a couple cards and a couple numbers, but like the combinations and the way the game plays is just endless. It's so fascinating on how well. And a lot of this, I think there are parts of this that come from the original Flame Rouge, because that game does a similar system. There is slipstreaming in that. And that system is very, very, very fascinating and adds so much to the decision making and the way the cars all line up. And then it's also about, like, it almost feels like a resource management game in my mind. It is a racing game, but it's hand management. I mean, it's what it's going to come down to. How well can you manage your resources in your hand? Let's say there's a lot of tracks like this where there's a straightaway right before a couple of turns or something, or even one turn, but like a couple of really sharp turns. And so you're like in a high gear, you know, in the straightaway. And so you're zooming, you know, if you're in fourth gear, you're playing four cards. And so when you come up on a turn, though, you need to downshift. And so the question is, do you downshift to three? Do you downshift to two? But then you have to spend a heat to go down two levels on to downshift that far. And so it's like, well, I spend it now, but then maybe it's just like, oh, you're constantly thinking about stuff. Do I downshift that hard to be safe, or do I downshift only one? Again, you're managing your hand. So did I save a couple ones? Did I save some low numbers to help me on these turns? And you always have to be thinking ahead. And there's multiple times where I'm like, I'm like three turns away from a really sharp turn, but I can't play this one right now because I don't think I'll get it back. And so you're like constantly thinking about this stuff. It is truly fascinating. It's exhilarating. It's an exhilarating racing game. It really is.
I was sold after my first game that this is the racing game for me at this point of all the racing games that I've experienced. And I feel like we have tried out a lot of them to this point.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that it is Formula One. I mean, if we're going to pick actual racing, I love Formula One so much more than I do NASCAR. And
yeah,
adding in things like the turns and things that, you know, we'll talk about later with different modules to really expand on aspects that come up in races, I'm really happy with how this game has come together.
Yeah, what as far as aspects that it makes you feel like you're racing, like what is one that makes you really feel like it achieves that?
I mean, I've seen a handful of Formula One races on TV, okay? And watching those guys whip around the turns with that itty-bitty car and those big wheels and just watching that rubber burn off as it's going around those turns, I feel that whenever I throw heat on the table to get around those turns. So that's one area. Slipstreaming, I feel like, is so cool in any racing game to be able to just use your opponents, what they think they're doing better than you, to just slide back right up on them and then slide right in front of them, sneak around them. Opportunity to just whip around them is it just feels really cool as when you feel like you're driving. So that's another aspect of it. And then, you know, it is one of those things, whether you're racing through in a car or running track or whatever, you know, you always hear, don't pull away early. You want to stay in the pack until the end. And I feel like you see that show up because, like you said, if you're in the front in that first lap and you try to get ahead, you're constantly feeling like you have to burn your high cards to stay ahead of everybody, but you're not getting any bonuses for that. And so the people behind you are burning less resources and gaining ground on you. Being smart about how you race is also well done here. And we've kind of hit on all of that. And the other thing too, and I guess we'll talk about this a little bit here since we can kind of switch. We're in the middle of mechanics that we really like. And when we started adding in some of the modules and it wasn't just the base game anymore, then I really felt like, okay, I got to build out my car a little bit. I got to see some changes to the track on top of the tracks being different already by themselves, which gave me an extra layer to think about, okay, how am I going to navigate this? And then also adding more cars to the track. Like you and I played a game, but you're able to add more cars that are run by a bot and they're actually competitive. And
yeah,
I mean, I know that AI in board games is getting better as far as stuff that's just running itself. And I think that it definitely had a place in this game to where you felt like this was a full race of cars going around the track, even though there was two physical players at the table.
And quickly, I don't know how much, as far as stuff this game doesn't do about racing, there's not a whole lot of it.
That's right.
It achieves the racing feel very well.
Oh, yes. So, sorry, one more thing just to jump in there. Shifting gears. You want to talk about a game that lets you feel like you're in the driver's seat? Let me shift gears with a pawn. Holy crap.
Yeah.
That totally adds to it, which is awesome.
Yep. Yeah, no, exactly. So, I mean, I'm fine with skipping this section and I'll say something in my final review.
Yeah.
But this game achieves a racing feel very well.
Yes.
It does everything that it wants to do. So I would like to move on to the modules that are in there.
Yeah, for sure.
One that you mentioned already. So there are upgrades. So the basic game has the starting upgrades. So your first couple races, you're going to have those, which is a zero card, a zero speed card, and then a five speed card, and then an extra heat that will go into your deck. I think these are absolutely amazing, honestly. And I think we'll have very different opinions on this. I would be totally fine playing the game most of the time with these starting upgrades,
okay,
especially in a high player count. At that point, there is variability. But it's also like we're all playing the same cards. Who does it better? And so I find that really fun. If it didn't have this other stuff, I would be totally content with those upgrades. 100%. I would play that game with new people. I wouldn't even try these other things because those are good enough. The game is very fun that way.
I will jump in and I will say that I agree with that for a new player or if you're wanting to keep this at a family level.
Yeah,
it holds up very well in the quote-unquote base game. You don't need to add anything to it. You can keep it just as it is, and it will be fun every time.
I think you could even use that as far in with the weather stuff, and I think that would be really, really cool. Anyway, so there's upgrades. So there's starting, then there's basics, and then there's what? Like advanced? Basically, if you use the basic upgrades, you kind of do like a little draft of basically garage modifications to your vehicles. It's like playing, you know, one of those old like PlayStation 2 games where you get to mod your car. That's basically what it feels like. You're choosing your wheels, you're choosing your body shape, you're choosing if you're having wings on the back, all this stuff. These cards, though, they're just cards that get added instead of those other base, you know, starting cards. Some of them are like kind of a low speed card. Some of them are have like ability to cool down. Sometimes they like do something crazy like an 8 speed. So like very stuff like that. And they're very basic as far as compared to the advanced. The advanced ones, again, same thing. They just do something like they usually do like 3 things instead of just one.
Yeah.
Where it gets, you know, you have to spend a heat, but it gives you like, you know, 7 movement and then also does something else. I think both advanced and basics are I think they're equally as good in my mind because one is just simple, but it doesn't cost so much to use. And where the other advanced ones, like sometimes they cost a lot heat wise or something else, but then you can, you know, use it and it's really strong, but the other basic ones don't cost as much. So I think they balance out really well. Again, on top of all this, though, I think the starting ones are just as good as honestly any of those because those 3 starting cards, a 5, a 0, and a heat are incredibly useful, especially the 0. And these other ones, any of the basics and advanced don't have 0s. There's not a 0 in there. And so even that 0 to me is so useful. Like there's just so many ways you can use that in a race. So anyway, that's one of the kind of modules. We did talk about the AI.
Yeah, that's the Legends
one
module.
Way to fill out
that's right.
Yep. So that fills out your racer. So if you only have 4 people, you can use 2 AI racers. Excellent. That knocked it out of the park. I don't know what math wizards they have working at Days of Wonders. I don't know what programs they're using, but it was excellent. And there's ways to increase the difficulty. And so basically they're just on the map racing with you. And honestly, they won like 2 out of 3 races, I think, or something like that, or maybe 1 out of them. But
they won one of them and they missed winning by 1 space on the other race because I ended up beating him out by 1.
Yeah. So like they're still really good and then you can increase the difficulty on them. So, but basically they have like a set number that they move around. It's all card based and it works so well.
I do think that module is almost required for low counts. Like I think if it was just a 2-player game and you only had the 2 cars on the track, I think it'd be kind of boring.
It would be boring. Yeah, it would. And that's the issue with some of the racing games for sure. You have to have a way to have enough more races on the board and be able to move them.
Right.
But one of the last ones is the weather conditions. And that just applies like kind of rules to the road itself or different turns. It just adds some variability onto the turns. Like you can't go as fast. You know, you can't cool down in this section or you get a boost for free. Like there's so many. And so it just adds a ton of variety. And I think those are really good. And I think those comboed, even in a game, like if you've played the game once, you could easily throw the weather conditions in and be totally fine with the basic starting cards. And I think that would be perfectly fine. I would totally teach new people that or like, you know, if they played it one time.
Yep, I agree.
Wouldn't bother me at all. And then I know there's like a season mode or whatever. I don't know anything about that, but
yeah, we didn't really dive into the championship or the tournament, but basically the championship will put you through 3 different seasons. So you'll go through a series of races that kind of emulate the 3 historic championship seasons of 1961, 62, and 63. I'm guessing with Formula One or something that's really massive, a big thing. It has a whole thing that it takes you through. You're dealing with press and like in between races kind of thing. So it's got a whole cool little like mini game
That's
inside
fun.
Of it. And then tournament
cool.
mode, you know, so in a lot of racing in real life, you're playing out a season instead of doing an individual race. So you'd get a certain amount of points for finishing 2nd or 3rd and you're going to score over the course of multiple races. And that's how the tournament race works. So that's what that is. I did want to add one thing on the Legends. I remember you and I being kind of, before we looked at the rules, we were kind of hesitant to add that because we're like, oh, we don't really like handling all these extra AIs and that sort of thing to add to the game. But it is extremely streamlined. It's flipping 1 card and then looking at where each car is at on the board and moving it that number of spaces based on what the card says. Very simple.
Yeah, super easy. It works. It works well. Incredibly well. I can't say enough about it, of how well it is designed.
Buddy, I think we've kind of shown our hand a little bit on what our final thoughts are going to be, but I do want to ask you, is there anything that you don't particularly care for with this game?
No, I mean, no, I don't particularly like some of the advanced upgrades. I just think it adds a lot of variability to a game that has variability already. I think they can be fun. I just think some of them are stronger than others, and I'm not sure how I feel. I feel like I'd rather just play with the starting or the maybe like basics.
I get that.
That's the only thing. But as far as the base game, there's not anything that I dislike about it. I like that you're always in it. And then as far as like even real racing, you can't just like zoom ahead, even though I played like there were so many times where I tried to zoom ahead a little bit. Like I'd have a really strong hand, like three fours and a three. And then I would boost for another three. And I feel like I'd like zoomed the fast. That is the fastest that you can go, really, like unless you're playing the five, which I did also. So I went like the fastest that I could technically go. And I'm still like four spaces ahead of the next person. So even though I had like one of the best turns, I was only up a couple spots on him. And so like that, literally it comes down again. It's about that longevity of the race. It comes down to a couple little things that might ruin you for this race. And that's what ended up happening to me. Nobody's going to believe me, but I would have for sure won the first game that I played of this if I didn't make a critical mistake around one of the last turns of the game, because I had the entire rest of the game set up. I made the turn and I went one space too far and I had to spend an extra heat. If I wouldn't have spent the extra heat, I would have literally had the card to take, you know, finish, get past the finish line and pass everybody, but I couldn't even do it. I just messed it up. And so, but the rest of the race, I feel like I played really, really well. I just made one really critical mistake at the last stretch. And again, it's the last two turns, even all the maps really, are super critical. You can mess up a turn early in this game and it'd be totally fine. You cannot mess up one of the last two turns because then you cannot recover. And that's how real racing. I mean, you can't mess up one of the last turns going into the final stretch, which that's what this game does. And it's super fascinating. I made one little mistake, didn't have enough heat. If I did, I would have won. And then, and I did make the mistake and I ended up coming in fifth. So it was that one mistake literally cost me the game. Yeah. And so it's a tight race, which is really fun. Keeps people engaged, keeps people, you know, always engaged in the fun, engaged in the, you know, not just giving up. And that's what you want. That's what you want in any game, period. You don't want to lose interest. You don't want people to feel like they're not, don't even have a chance to win. Like, you don't want that. You want people to stay engaged in a game. It makes it more fun. It makes people have a good time. And when they leave the table, they have a good experience and a memory with them. And so that this game is doing that. And overall, like, yeah, I just don't have a whole lot of bad things to say about a couple of the modules I'm not a big fan of, but that's more of a personal thing than anything else. Yeah, I mean, what about you? Do you?
I have a couple of minor quibbles. The primary one is not actually about the game itself. I just think any game, so this game is very icon heavy. There's quite a bit of iconography that you do want to pick up on, especially for what is supposed to be a family weight game.
Yeah,
I know that our first game probably took at least twice as long as any other game took because we were so busy learning the icons on our mat and right. What we should look at.
Exactly.
I just think add a cheat sheet for each player for the icons. It wouldn't have been that big. It would have been really easy to throw in there. And I think it would make the experience, especially for new players, that much better. There is one on the back of the rule book, but that's just one. And for a game that can go up to six, and soon to be more with expansions, I would think you would want it to be as beginner-friendly as possible because it is a family weight game.
Yeah, no, I agree in some regard. I mean, you could have put it on the racer sheet, probably. There's probably space. Yeah, in a way, yeah, I don't disagree. I don't know if a whole sheet, I don't know, yeah.
I just think if you put it on the
game goes on, there are probably going to be more icons. So maybe they're saving it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I do think that putting on the driver's sheet would have made it very crowded. So I don't know if that's the way to do it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's already kind of, they're trying to keep it simple, but not overcrowded. Yeah. And like also.
But regardless, it is a quibble. Like the game itself is not affected by this. The game is a great design. I I think that for me, the Italia map was significantly less of an experience for me than the other three were. And that might have just been my play style did not match with it. And it might have been just a matter of, you know, the way that everything fell, whether it be upgrades and weather and all that and road conditions and all that stuff. So that's just a minor thing. I don't think everybody's going to enjoy every map, and I think that's okay. So like you, I'm having trouble coming up with things to critique about it, but I don't want to just say that everything is awesome all the time. So I do want to have a little bit of that balance. And I do think that's that, especially the icon card, it's more than just, it affects the game because of how many icons you have in the game. So that part is something that I think is something that you need to, you could have done better. And that is something to be aware of as you're going into it, is that you want to make sure that you understand the icons as you're going into the first play. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
There are no expansions out currently for this game. There will be an expansion coming out at the end of April. I was looking around online. It has already sold out multiple places for pre-orders. Heat is very popular, and it is very difficult at times to get a hold of this game. It definitely comes in waves when it comes back in stock. I will say, definitely check out your local game store if you can. I've seen more in stock there than I have other places, so that might be your best bet if you want to try this one out. Player count. I think this, Ian, tell me if you think differently. I think because of the legends, this game plays well up and down all the way. I think that we've played at 5, we've played at 2, we've played all over the place. It's been a great experience everywhere. I do think it is better with more players.
Yep.
But the fact that you can have less players and it still be great is an excellent sign for a racing game.
Yeah, any racing game that I've ever played is it's better at close to the max amount of players.
Yes.
Downforce is the most recent one that we played. I prefer it at almost max count. So, and then I don't know if you ever played Formula D. That was another one. I'm sure that that also had the shifting mechanic. So I feel like some of that stuff is taken from that. That's a pretty old game. Same thing though. Any racing game that I've ever played, it's just better with the max. What this game does different is that it allows, there's some AI to help fill out the squad. So smart. So well done.
Yep.
But yes, I agree. Better at the max. Even if you don't have the max, though, you are playing against, there's always 6 racers, so it's awesome. But yeah, Days of Wonder, company who did this, I've been a Days of Wonder fan since I was 12 years old. Days of Wonder is one of my favorite game companies, mostly due to nostalgia, but I love their games. I have multiple games that I play by them, and I have games that have been sitting on my shelf for forever, and I get them to the table multiple times a year, and they're still phenomenal. And so I love Days of Wonder. The artwork is clean. Who's the artist again?
Vincent Dutrait.
Yep. Excellent. Excellent work. It looks, it's a little cartoony, but, or animated, I guess, but it's clean. It's just so, it's easy to read, easy to understand. Obviously the icons are, that's not really them. That's just, you know, you can't just spell out all this stuff. So you do need icons. Mm-hmm. I think the icons do make sense once you get used to them. And the board looks beautiful. The cards are phenomenal. Like Days of Wonder, that's another thing. Days of Wonder, that's why another, like their artwork is its unique style of itself. It's not like other games, but they're always so well done. Always so well done, Days of Wonder.
Oh, yeah. No, the artwork's great. And Vincent Dutrait is massive in the industry and always does great work. He is, to list off all the games that he's done great artwork for would take a podcast all by itself. So no, the artwork's incredible. And it's pretty cool how the dashboard looks like a car, but doesn't get in the way of the icons you're searching for.
Exactly.
So it really well designed there.
Yeah. And speaking of design, the two designers,
Asger and Daniel,
excellent products. They did do Flame Rouge, and they've done the 13 days, like the Cuban Missile Crisis game, which also very good. So they have some games under their belt. Yeah, Asger, he's a fascinating person. He started making games years ago, but Flame Rouge was his first game, and that game was just so well done, just excellent game. And it almost like this takes it to a whole other level, like you were saying. The one thing that I read an article about him. He loves biking. And so he learned some concepts from cycling, turned that into Flame Rouge, developed some other games, came back to the same concept, designed Heat, and you get concepts from that, and you get concepts from other racing games. And I think this like makes almost like a match made in heaven of different components, different mechanics that really just create this really strong game. Not that Flame Rouge isn't. That's a great, phenomenal game. I think this takes a couple more steps ahead just in the way it's played, because it just does some things different that I like a little bit better.
Yep.
Anyway, excellent work. All of his games I honestly really like, so I can't complain about his games. They're good.
If this game did not exist, Flamme Rouge would probably be my favorite racing game.
Yeah.
But as it is, I don't think I need both of them. I think that Heat does everything I want to have in a racing game, and I don't need both because of how close they are. I think if you're looking at a family weight perspective, I probably would lean Flamme Rouge. And if you have to pick one and you like cycling, then pick Flamme Rouge, because
right.
I know multiple cyclists who have played Flamme Rouge. Literally all of them say this is incredible and matches my actual cycling, which is really cool when you can mirror that well. So
exactly.
I don't know, but for me, Heat's the one that's going to stay on the shelf.
No, and I think this one matches racing phenomenally. So, and I think they're both different. I think that's mainly why is like, I like the way this one kind of develops and portrays racing more than the cycling. And so not that the cycling isn't fun. I just, I think this one does this one so well. And so, yeah, they're different in their own regard, similar aspects and mechanics, but slightly different approach in some ways. So yeah.
Definitely has a good grasp on racing across the board. All right, man. Well, we are coming up on an hour. And so with that, I don't know that we need to go all the way back through final thoughts, but what grade are you giving this game?
I think as far as family friendly game for gamers, game for people who've never played games, fun, strategy, decision making, and explosions in high octane speed and crashing into the corner, I would say this game is a 9 out of 10.
Whoa, nice.
Yeah, this game's really good. This game's really good. It's not perfect. I'm going to say it now. I do not like the advanced upgrades. It just adds too much variability to me. In a racing game like this that is card-based and drawing off a deck, you already have enough variability for me. I just don't think I like that. I think I would rather just do the starting or try maybe some basics more. I just think there's just too much variability there, and it really just changes that. And again, you can look at it in a good way because it's changing that person's car a lot, which is supposed to do that. But a part of me, it's like I want to play like where we're kind of all even, and whoever plays that deck more efficiently. And so I like that kind of style better, you know, because there's already enough variability on trying to predict other people's moves, how people are pulling the cards, what cards you're even pulling on your turn is already random to begin with. And so adding other random cards to the deck is that do a couple different things really changes the whole, it just changes the game a lot in my mind. It changes the game. And the base game with the starting upgrades is so good. Now, obviously, if I were to play it 50 times with the starting cards, I probably would want to try to add some variety. So I applaud Days of Wonder for already having that in there. I think that's great. But definitely for the amount of times that I'm going to play it, I honestly would rather just do the starting because I just think it adds too much variety for me. I want those races to be closer and tight, and I feel like when you get into some of those cards where it's like, oh yeah, they might be really far ahead, or they might spin out a couple times because of those cards. And so that's the only thing that I don't really like. But that again, that's a module, so you can choose to play that or not. And if you like it, then good for you. It's just not something that I enjoy. But overall, I mean, it just does everything so well, and I think it's easy to teach. I would really like to try this game with some more people that don't play as many games as I do and see how they feel about it, because I think it would go over well. I have some other racing games that do well, and I think this one would fit too. So yeah, man, this is like being a part of a critical race, man. You actually do feel like you're racing, you're making big decisions. You got your foot on the gas pedal. Like that's what this feels like, man. It really does. And I'm not just making it up. It's true. It really does feel like you're putting that putting that foot on the gas, baby.
I will just say that I completely agree with most of what you said. I think you and I differ very much, like you mentioned earlier, on the upgrade cards. I think there's real benefit there. And I can see the benefit of what you're talking about, of everyone having the same decks, and let's see how it shakes out on the track. I do want to toy with how those cards are drafted to see if we can feel like there's a little more balance to those upgrade cards, because I think that could add a little more feeling like everybody's on the same level, even with different decks. But
yeah,
that really doesn't bother me. Like I said, I didn't like Italia. I think three laps really felt too long, and like by the third lap, I know I wasn't winning, but I also was kind of like, man, come on, let's end this already and move on to the next one. I want to try again. And I haven't won this game a lot. I only won the one time, but I never felt that on the other maps, but I felt that with that extra lap on that one. So there's, you know, there's a few things I could pick at, but I also am giving this a 9 out of 10. It is a great game. I think I can play this top to bottom with all the people that I typically game with, and they're going to have a good time. And it doesn't overstay its welcome for the most part. And like you said, it is very much feeling like you're behind the wheel of a race car, and that's just a bunch of fun. So yeah, absolutely. 9 out of 10.
Exactly.
Well, hey, thank you all so much for tuning in and for hanging with us this far. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. Shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. 5-star reviews, subscribing in your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. All these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art and to Anna Snyder who made the music. Join us next week as Anna and I create a very special Valentine's Day episode. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.